You know, I think the doxology was very appropriate after that anthem, don't you? It was very beautiful. Thank you, Jaleesa, for sharing. And I'm going to have to up my game if Allison's going to keep bringing props to worship. I'll make sure I try to have an object lesson next week for you. But today, we'll just have a sermon and scripture. How about that? Scripture and sermon. Well, this morning, I want to share a passage of scripture with you from Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 24 through 28. So let us hear now this reading of God's word. The prophet Ezekiel writes, "The message of the Lord. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you will be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. Then you shall live in the land that I gave to your ancestors, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your holy word given through the prophet Ezekiel. We pray today that we would be reminded that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Lord, make us hungry for your word, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life. This we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. By the way, I'm Jimmy Criddle. I'm your new pastor, and I am delighted to be with you on the second Sunday together. Your senior trip, do you remember where you went? Did you take a senior trip? Well, my wife and my middle son, who just graduated from high school, took a senior trip a couple of weeks ago. They went to a warm, sunny beach somewhere and had a great time. But let me tell you about my senior trip. So I graduated high school. For those of you that are trying to figure out my age, I graduated in 1995. And for my senior trip, my best friend Brad and I, who was the pastor of our Methodist church in Holka, we loaded up in his father's 1979 Ford LTD car. Have any of you ever seen a 1979 Ford LTD? Well, they are about 100 feet long, and they're the most hideous thing you've ever seen. This one was battleship gray. It was ahead of its time. You know, everybody now is painting their cars these muted colors, like the grays and the beiges and all of that. Well, this one was painted that way in 1979. And it had a blue vinyl top on it with blue vinyl seats. So we loaded up in it in the summer of 1995 and made a road trip just south of Atlanta, Georgia. Now, this is where we took our senior trip. We went to a place called Indian Springs Holiness Campground. Sound like a lot of fun? We went to church camp. Yes, this very famous South Georgia campground is where we spent that summer. And while at camp that week, God showed up. He did. The year prior, I told the men this morning a little bit of this story, but I gave my life to Christ the summer before my senior year of high school. And so God had been at work in my life in some very dramatic ways over the course of that year. And so we wanted to go to this camp. We desired to be there. Well, one night at camp, something happened. We had gone to some worship services, and that night I lay down in my little cot in the dorm room to go to sleep. And it took me a while to fall asleep. And I started finally to drift off, and something startled me. I heard this noise. It sounded like a rushing wind. It kind of was blowing into the room. And so I perked up and I looked around, and nothing. Everybody was fast asleep. It was dark. It was quiet. And I lay back down in the bed, and I began to have a dream or a vision. I began to see something. I saw this figure in my vision or dream, and it looked like what I thought Jesus might look like. And the appearance of the figure was, he was outlined, his figure, with a rainbow. And it was kind of glowing. And I kept seeing this figure kind of peeking out from behind this door that was partially opened. I didn't know what to make of it. I eventually went back to sleep. And I woke up the next morning, and I could not wait to tell my friend Brad about what I saw. And I told him. I told him about the wind, and I told him about the figure and the rainbow and the image. And he said, "Jimmy, I don't really know what that means. I don't know if God is trying to speak something to you or share something with you." But he said, "During chapel service this morning, why don't you go down to the altar at the end of the service and pray about it?" Well, y'all, I went to chapel. My friend Brad and I did, and we sat kind of in the back, and it was an outdoor rustic chapel, and it had this sawdust on the floor, and we sat there, and I could not wait for it to get over with, but for all the right reasons, because I wanted to go kneel at that altar. And so when the call was made, opening up the altar for prayer, I rushed down, and I knelt. I knelt on that side. I still remember the sawdust under my knees. And I prayed a prayer that I've never forgotten. I still pray this prayer. And the prayer goes something like this: "Lord, whatever it is that you have for me, I want it. Lord, whatever it is that you want to do in my life, I say, yes, Lord. Yes." And y'all, that prayer was what began my journey into ministry. The Lord, I think, was saying to me, "Jimmy, I have something more for you to experience. There's more of myself that I want to pour into you." And the invitation was for me to say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." That's the title of the message this morning: "Yes, Lord." There was a scripture that I ran across years later after this about a prophet named Ezekiel who had a very similar vision. I want you to listen to it. In Ezekiel chapter 1, this is how the book opens up, in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and then 26 through 28. Listen to this vision. "In the 13th year of the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the exiles by the Chebar Canal, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. And above the expanse, over their heads, there was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like sapphire, and seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness of a human appearance. And upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw as it were gleaming metal, like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire. And there was a brightness all around him, like the appearance of a rainbow that is in the cloud on the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness all around. You see, Ezekiel had a vision of God. And in that vision, he saw God in the appearance of a rainbow. This vision that Ezekiel had was a sign of mercy in the midst of judgment and exile. You see, before Ezekiel ended up by the Chebar River in Babylon, he was in Jerusalem. He was studying to be a priest. And on his 30th birthday, when he would have been consecrated as a priest, he went down by the river to pray. Probably to think about what might have been, what could have been. Here he was in this exiled place, this wilderness place, far from God. But yet he sees the presence of the Lord in that place. And what God was doing was calling him. He couldn't be a priest without service in the temple, so God is calling him to be a prophet, to preach, to proclaim the word of God to the people of God, to give them a message of judgment and also to give them a word of hope, of restoration. And so the book Ezekiel kind of goes back and forth between these messages. Sometimes Ezekiel is preaching judgment and about God's wrath upon the people because of their idolatry and injustice. He says, that's why we wound up here in this exiled place. But then he brings a message in chapters 36 through 48, and there he describes three visions of restoration. One is of new hearts, the passage we just read. Another one is the vision of the valley of dry bones, a vision of new life. And then he ends the book with a vision of the temple being rebuilt, a new and glorious temple filled with God's very presence. There's a common message in these visions, and the message is this: better days are ahead of us and not behind us. No matter how bad things have gotten, Ezekiel says, hold on, people of faith. God's not done yet. Something good is coming down the road. Restoration, renewal, hope. And in this passage, Ezekiel gives the word of the Lord and says this: I will give you new hearts. And a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove your hearts of stone and give you hearts of flesh. New hearts. And he says, I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. He's going to write, His Word on their hearts. He's going to fill them with the Spirit of God. He's going to give them, instead of those stone hearts that were obstinate towards the Lord, He's going to soften those hearts and help them to feel again. Y'all, this is a message of hope. And I think the prophet Ezekiel paints a picture for us of what God wants to do in our lives. God wants to remove our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh. In other words, I believe that God desires to replace our hearts that may have grown cold or unresponsive. You know, we have seasons like that in our lives, don't we? Hearts sometimes that are real open to God. Hearts like that 17-year-old boy at Indian Springs who knelt in the sawdust and said, "Yes, Lord." So naively, "Yes, Lord, whatever it is you want to do, I say yes." And then there are some seasons when we say, "Lord, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that." I've had some days like that, if I'm real honest, in the ministry where I've said, "God, I don't think I want to clock in today. I know you called me, but God, I don't think I can do it." You've had days like that too, in your own way. And I believe what God wants to say to us is, "I'm not done with you yet. Let me work in your life. Let me give you a heart like Jesus." And our invitation is to say, "Okay, Lord, okay, you can do it. Give us hearts, God, that are responsive. Hearts that are open. Give us hearts that are alive and filled with the Spirit of God." I ask you this morning, what is the condition of your heart? How would you describe it today? Is it open? The key to being filled, to being responsive, the key to being open and alive is to say, "Yes, Lord," and to keep asking God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. They go together here in this story, in Ezekiel's vision. Jesus says to us in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Yes, Lord. Give us the gift of your Spirit. Stir up, God, within your people, within the church, the gifts of your Spirit, the fruit of your Spirit. Make us alive, Lord. Help us to be a people that collectively together say, "Yes, Lord." You know, we can say yes to a lot of things. And sometimes we say yes to anything and everything but what Jesus wants to do. Those other yeses, they won't satisfy us. They won't sustain us. There's only one that changes our lives. There's only one yes that can fill us up. One yes that can bring us peace that surpasses all understanding. If we say yes to the Lord, He will fill us and He will bless us. There was a guy by the name of Rodney Gypsy Smith. How about that for a name? Gypsy Smith. And Gypsy Smith was a great revivalist preacher during the Second Great Awakening. And he said, if we want revival, if we want awakening, if we want God to renew our hearts, first, we need to draw a big circle on the floor. The second thing, he said, we need to kneel inside that circle and pray for God to first send revival to that circle. If we want revival, renewal in our church, if we want it in our community, in our nation, if we want an outpouring of God's Spirit, then first we got to kneel and we got to ask God to do it for us individually. Will you draw a circle with me? I challenged our men this morning to 30 days of prayer. I challenge you as well. Today is day one. Pray. Do you desire more of God in your life and heart? Then say yes to the Lord. Open your heart. Pray for renewal. I believe there are some here today that are weighed down by a grieving heart, a broken heart. Will you come to Jesus and find peace? God's not done with you yet. And there are a lot of different forms of grief. Is there someone here whose strength has run out? Katie, are you weary? A little bit? She's had a heavy load put on her this summer, hasn't she? Do you have a weary heart? Do you need refreshing today? Come to Jesus. There may be some here who have cold hearts that are like a stone. You're discouraged. You lack a desire for the Lord. You're running on fumes. There may not be much hunger in your soul right now. Would you open up just a little bit and ask the Holy Spirit to come? Rekindle that fire in you. Some of you have disobedient hearts. We can all be disobedient at times. There are some that may have been maybe running from the Lord. It's time to receive salvation. To receive Jesus as your Savior. Stop running. Say yes. And finally, some of you have full hearts. Full hearts. You're fired up. But you want more. There's more that God has for you. You can't even imagine. Just keep your heart open. Let us open our hearts now as we pray together. Open your heart. And if you need to talk to a pastor, if you would like for one of us to pray with you, we're here for you. Just reach out. Would you join with me in our prayer of confession? Let us pray, uniting our voices. God of new hearts and new spirits, we confess we need your presence in our lives. We know we act out of our own hearts in ways that diminish our relationships with you and with one another. Forgive us, O God, for we have sinful hearts. Forgive us, O God, for we have disobedient hearts. Heal us, O God, for we have grieving hearts. Heal us, O God, for we have hard hearts. We know that it is by your Spirit alone that we are able to say yes to your presence in our lives. Renew in us your faithful love that softens our hearts and opens them to your ways so that we are empowered to bear the fruit of your love and live in the fullness of your Spirit. Amen. I invite you now to stand as we close out our service, singing together hymn number 500.